Last week in Huntersville, a man had his name changed. His name was Charlie Stink. And for all of his life, people constantly teased him about his name. His friends said, Charlie, you ought to get your name changed. So finally he gave in. He went to court, filled out all the papers, and got his name changed. And he came back to his friends and said, well, Charlie, what did you change your name to? He said, I changed my name to Bob Stink, but for the life of me, I don't know what difference it'll make. Today is the beginning of Advent. Today, when we celebrate the coming of Jesus into the world, starting today and moving through Christmas. Today is the day that we begin asking God to renew in us the hope of his promises of hope and peace and joy and love in Jesus himself. With a hope that Jesus will come into our lives and change our lives in some way, but so often, like Charlie, we miss the point. We hear the words about the hope of Advent and the peace and the joy and the love and the Jesus, and nothing changes. We look at December 26th and it looks just like November 26th in our lives. We miss the point. The point of Advent is to be changed. And so Jesus, this season, this session, this time of year, is going to be offering us new eyes to see how it is that we hear the words and the words become life. And each week he's going to give us these takeaway tools to take away so that perhaps these tools can help us actually be changed by Advent. So God is going to be doing this during our Advent season through the prophet Isaiah, who is this powerful and passionate and beautiful, insightful prophet who tells us about the hope of God through Jesus in our lives. Today we begin Advent with God's promise of hope. And today Isaiah speaks of hope in the 61st chapter of the book of Isaiah. As most of you know, most of the scholars believe that Isaiah was written by at least three people on three different times in the life of Israel. And the 61st chapter was written about 500 BCE. And what's going on here is that at about 70 years, about 100 years actually before this, the Israelites were conquered by Babylon and sent off into exile in Babylon. And then Persia conquered Babylon and sent the Israelites back home. So the Israelites go back home and they're all full of hope about what's going to happen, but they found their temple and their land, their homes, their community been destroyed and taken over by a bunch of other people. And all around them are surrounded by people who do not want them to rebuild their lives in this place. So that hope they had, God said, I promise you this is going to be your land of milk and honey. It looks like it's disappeared. But then Isaiah shows up, and with words of power and with passion, he tells them that the hope of God can actually come true in their lives. If they're to see how it can happen, it'll take away these tools he gives them and us today so that hope can be rebuilt. And the people take on the words, they take hold of hope, and indeed, a whole nation is changed by not only hearing the words of hope, but by living them. And so today, God offers us these powerful and passionate and hope-filled words of Isaiah in hopes that they will take hold of us. And that hope will not only live in us, will go out into us to change at least one person's life, maybe even a whole nation. Here's what Isaiah says to us this morning. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, to give light to those living in darkness, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and destruction of the enemies of our God. He has sent me to comfort those who mourn, provide for those who grieve, bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, an oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness. You will be called oaks of righteousness, planted by the Lord, to display his glory. You will rebuild and restore the devastated places. You will renew the ruined cities, and you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God. For he has clothed me with garments of salvation and wrapped me in a robe of his righteousness. God is going to be offering us three big impact after Advent gifts this morning. And the first of those is God's exchange counter. Do you know God had an exchange counter? We know about exchange counters because here's what the stores do after Advent. Actually, they say after Christmas sale. You can actually come and bring the stuff you don't want that you got for Christmas. That ever happened to you? Ever get something you didn't want? My mother specialized in doing that for me. Said, what is this? And now I think my brother has taken up the mantle and say, Bill, this is nice. So what is this, honey? What do you think this is? So we take back the stuff we don't want to get stuff we do want. Well, God has his own exchange counter. God invites us to bring all the stuff in our lives that we do not want and give it to him. The problem is, for us, is that's all we do is we just give it to him. You said it. I said it. Just give it to God, right? Give it to God, everything will be fine. That doesn't work that way. No, God wants us to give the stuff we don't want so he can give us the stuff he wants. Because the stuff he wants in our lives is what will give us hope and change our lives. You see, Isaiah is God's marketing vice president. Y'all know that? That's a little known fact in Isaiah. He urges us with pop-up ads and Facebook postings and billboards and spreads in a newspaper. Some of y'all remember what a newspaper is? It's on paper. I asked my son when we were in Nashville, I said, where can I get a copy of the Wall Street Journal? He said, you mean on a piece of paper? He said this. I said, yeah. He said, you're not going to find it around here, man. So he gives us this message. Come to God's exchange counter. It's open 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Make your exchange today, and all of Advent hope will come true in your life. Not just for Advent, but after Advent. And the fine print, he adds this. If you don't have a need to exchange anything in your life today, you just hang on to this because you will. And you can take this ad and you can share it with somebody who needs something in their life to be different. Now, I want you to note this especially about God's exchange counter. Here's what Walmart says. Walmart says, exchange for something of equal value. God says, no. You bring me the stuff in your life and I will give you something infinitely greater. Instead of mourning, instead of ashes, I'll give you beauty. Walmart says, you can only exchange what you bought at Walmart and it must not be broken, used, or messed up. God says, I don't care where you got this stuff in your life or who gave you this stuff, whether you gave it to yourself. And man, I am so excited. The more messed up and broken and used and bad the stuff in your life, the more excited, God says, I am for you to bring it to me. See, Isaiah lays out for us a suggested list. Isaiah says, are you poor? Are in material things of life or in spirit? God will provide you what you need. God will provide you what is good. Is your heart broken? Is your heart hurting? God will heal you and give you a new heart. He will give you something beautiful for your life. Are you mourning? Are you in sorrow? God will give you joy. Are you a captive to some unhealthy habit, some unhealthy relationship, some unhealthy addiction to anger, to pride, to self-centeredness, to my way or the highway, to this syndrome of I'm always the victim? God will set you free from what's holding you captive, from the life that you can live. Is there some darkness in your life? God says, I will be the light in your darkness. God says, I'll give you a path, a lighted path, to show you the way that your life can be different. God says to us this morning, you bring what's dark, and the darkness in your life will be turned into light. The Bible lays out all kinds of endless exchange items. God says to us, do you have a problem? I'll give you solutions. Do you not understand something? I'll give you answers. Are you struggling to find purpose and passion and meaning in your life? God says, I will light a path for you that will give you purpose, passion, and fulfill your life to be full with the abundance of love and joy and peace and so much more. But right about there, we're saying, well, that sounds like a really good idea. I'm just going to bring that stuff in and get something else. And right there, God asks you this question. He said, are you going to be like that man that bought that sports jacket at Nordstrom's? Y'all know Nordstrom's? They have this unconditional exchange policy. It really works. I know it. So this man bought this sports jacket on an impulse. Now, do you think impulse buying is a good idea? How many have ever made an impulse purchase? Oh, yeah. Let's say, oh yeah, that's me. That's why Sally never sends me to the grocery store unless she can help it. I come home with these potato chips, you know, all the good stuff. And what we have is bananas, apples, and, you know, whatever. I do that. So he buys this sports jacket on impulse. It turns out it's the wrong color, the wrong size, and it itches when he wears it. But because he bought it, he wears it. Sally does this. She said, these shoes really hurt. They're too small. I said, well, why do you keep wearing them? She said, well, I paid for them. Okay. So he lives with the thing. He wears it a lot. And finally, he spills gravy on it. He said, okay, I'm done. I'm going to take this back to the Nordstrom's to see what they'll do. So he goes back. And he's a little apprehensive. He's a little embarrassed. But he goes up to sales clerk and he says, I want to exchange this jacket. You see, I bought it, yeah, but it's the wrong size. It's the wrong color. It itches when I wear it, and I spill gravy on it, and it's not right for me. I want something right. And he was shocked at the answer. The sales clerk said, great, give it to me, and let's go find a jacket that's right for you. And then he says, and by the way, what took you so long to bring it back? That's what God says to us this morning. What are you holding on to? What darkness is there in your life? What needs to be healed? What is holding you captive? Why are you holding on to it, God says? Well, what's taking you so long to get rid of that and exchange it for what I want for you? Well, today you can do it because the exchange counter is open right here, this morning, right here. And you can bring up here and you leave here. Whatever it is that needs to get out of your life is not right. And Jesus will give you what you need on the way out. Because we have a special way that's going to happen for you this morning. Yet God knows, chances are, you'll come up here and you'll leave it there, right? You're going to leave here feeling a little better about yourself. And in no time flat, certainly by the end of Advent, it's right back on your life again. Y'all ever experienced that before? Put your burden here, about a week goes by, and it's back. So what God wants to do is to say to you today, not this time, not this year. This year you're going to leave it here and it's not coming back. If you'll accept his third, his second, after in fact, big impact, after Advent, big impact, I'll say that fast gift, God's new clothes. God's clothes of praise and glorifying God and priests of the Lord. See, Isaiah holds out these gifts of healing and joy and freedom and light. And then he offers an unasked for gift. And that gift is the one that enables us to hang on to this gift that Jesus is going to give you this morning. To replace the old stuff and become lives after Advent. See, God offers something beautiful this morning. He offers us new clothes. Isaiah says, I give you a garment of praise instead of a life of heaviness, so that you will be called trees of righteousness, so that God will be glorified, and you will become priests of the Lord, ministers of God. See, God gives us this counterintuitive gift. He says, do you want your life to be full of light? Do you want the gift of hope to come into your life? Do you want to be free from what holds you captive? Do you want what's not right in you to be made right? Then, Jesus says, God says to you, when you put on your clothes each day, you ask God. You ask Jesus, what can I say or think or do today that will glorify God? What can I think or say or do today that lives out my anointment as a priest of the Lord? You see, the great truth is that I think many of you have discovered. And when you lift the burden of someone else, you lift the burden off yourself. When you shine light into somebody else's life, you receive light in your life. When you heal someone's brokenness, then your brokenness is healed. When you make something right in somebody else's life, then things begin to come right in your life. I had a lot of examples of this to offer up to you this morning, and one of them is sitting here this morning, of a beautiful example of how this happens. But because they're here, I'm not going to do that. Instead, I'm going to talk to you about Mike. Mike's was a real guy. He lived in Charlotte, and his life was a mess. Mike was stressed by his marriage, his family, his job. He was distressed by his whole life, and his stress and his distress was played out in unhealthy ways with anger, blaming, yelling, self-centeredness, sadness, I'm the victim, and too much alcohol. He was driving his wife, his family, his colleagues away. Until that Advent, which is why I share this story with you, is his wife Rebecca went to their pastor in desperation. Now, that word strikes me, to go to your pastor in desperation. Let me tell you how excited your pastor is when you come in desperation. Oh boy, this is going to be more than 10 minutes, right? But sometimes that's when we finally come to our pastor, in desperation. And she spells out what's happening in Mike's life, which he had already seen. And they prayed about it together. And the pastor, because of Advent, pointed to this life-changing truth from Isaiah. He says, our burden will be lifted when we put on the garment of the priest of the Lord in serving others. That led her to a white envelope. It was the only present he got that Christmas, this white envelope on the tree. The way this came about is 2 weeks before, Rebecca went to her son's wrestling match against an inner city school. And Brandy, I thought about this this morning as you were talking, as their shoes were held together by a string and were worn out. Their headgear was so dilapidated that some of them fell apart during the match. And because their opportunities for training were so poor, they lost every single match. So the light clicked on in her head, and the next day she went to a sporting goods store and bought uniforms for all of these kids in this inner city school and gave it anonymously to the school. And then she took the receipt and put it in the envelope and put it on the tree with this message. There's some young men who need more than this. They need your life. They need you. Well, needless to say, on Christmas morning, Mike was puzzled, but he began to embrace the concept. He began to reluctantly work with these young men and then enthusiastically to give them what they needed, which was a man in their life who cared about them. And he began to lift their burden. And so here's the truth I want you to soak in and embrace this. Is that he began to lift the burdens of others, and the burdens in his life began to be lifted. As he shined the light of good news and hope into someone else's life, it began to shine in his. So year after year, these white envelopes just kept coming. Sometimes the same, sometimes something new. Mike cherished these gifts and the gifts he received because he gave his life away as a priest of the Lord. 4 years ago, Mike died of cancer. As his family was gathered around him in his last hours, he turned to Rebecca and said, "We've had a lot of really good years together. But the very best years began with those white envelopes." "Who knew," he said, "that by giving myself away, I got everything." At Mike's funeral, the church was full. Full of women and men and families and children and young people whose lives had been changed by Mike. Many spoke, same message. "I was out of hope until Mike came along. I never met a man so good, so full of hope. Whenever I spent time with him, I just felt better. I knew my life was going to be better." And it was. Would you like for someone to say that at your funeral? You can. So this morning on this first Sunday of Advent, God asked us, how about you? How about you, Fred? You want to give God your burdens, your darkness, whatever holds you captive, whatever is broken in you? And let God give you hope by putting on the new clothes of life that gives glory to God and the garment of the priest of the Lord. Perhaps beginning with a white envelope that you, I'm sure, already ready to hear, that you will receive at the end of our worship service today. If we're willing to put on God's new clothes, then there's one more gift, the third gift of after Advent, big impact that God wants to give us, that gives us the power to do what he calls us to do. Isaiah is able to receive and give joy because he reveals, God has anointed me. Jesus begins his ministry in the Gospel of Luke with a sermon which says, I'm going to live out the words of hope of Isaiah that you and I just read this morning because, he says, God has anointed me. That word anointed means to consecrate, to dedicate your life to serving God. So why does God's anointment give us this power to be priests of the Lord, to give hope and to receive it in return? Because Isaiah says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. That is because, my friends, in order to be anointed, we must submit to God and say, I dedicate my life to you. This morning, when we come to this table, you're going to have that opportunity. Because this is the way it worked in the early church. When you were baptized, you put on a whole new clothes, white robes, you came to the table. And after you left the table, you were anointed with the cross of Jesus with these words. You are God's anointed. Now go. Go and receive and give God's hope wherever you go. So this morning, we have that opportunity when we come to this table. Come up here this morning, my friends, and lay the burden down at this table. Whatever is captivating you, whatever is darkness in you, whatever needs healing in you, and ask Jesus to give you new clothes. And if you're ready, and I'm going to give you a chance to pray about this in a moment, if you're ready, then Amy and I will be on both ends of the table, and we'll offer to anoint you. And we're going to be anointing you not only this morning with oil, but with gold and frankincense and myrrh. Gold, the symbol of royalty. Frankincense, an essential oil that heals your body and gives you total wellness. And myrrh, which stands for death. That is, something's going to have to die in us in order for us to live with hope. And so now, before we come to this table this morning, I'm going to ask you to spend some time in praying. I want you to ask Jesus whether you are ready to recommit your life to him. Whether you're ready to say, yes, Lord, I want to accept my appointment as a priest of the Lord this morning. I want to be anointed so I can have the power to receive and give hope to the world. Are you ready, my friends, to recommit your life to Jesus this morning to receive and give his hope? If you pray, please.